Can we bow for a moment of prayer, please? Our Father, thank Thee for this time, these days together. Thank Thee for each soul that responded in the meetings there in the morning with Roy. Bowing down, I saw all those men just bowing down in brokenness. Seeking God. Thank You for my darling wife and her ministry and every lady that has come up to me and I've heard of what God has done in their hearts through Jenny pouring herself out in her humble and unique way. As each one of us is so unique, but so precious if given ever to God. So we bless Thee for what Thou hast done for the ladies and girls through a woman who understands far deeper the needs, the desires, the longings of other women in their homes and from their children for their families. Thank Thee, dear God, for the ministry and song from each one that played violins and instruments in a sacred and reverent way, longing to be used of God. Thank You they're not out there playing for the world. Thank You they're not in the church playing to bring the world in the church, but playing in reverence. Thank Thee, Father, for all these dear people that are here. Bless them, all that have responded in the meetings and sought God like last night, the way they just sought Thee, how we bless Thee. Thank Thee, our Lord, for Thy presence with us. Without Thy presence, everything would be a grief, eventually. But to know that God is with us, to sense His voice, to feel His hand, to sense His convicting power, His grief, His longing, His light bursting, His voice penetrating where no human voice can penetrate. This is all that matters. The presence of God. The consciousness we have to do with God, not men. Our reaction is for God, not men. Our rejection is to God, not men. Of any message we hear, of any light that's held out, or standard presented that's from this book. It's only to do with God. Nothing else really matters. The way we speak to each other. It is because of God we speak thus. The way we react when others fail. We react because God reacted with love and patience and mercy at our failures. Everything is to do with God. The way we reject evil thoughts and bring every thought into captivity, unto obedience, replace those thoughts with seeking God, is because we love Thee. Even our thoughts are controlled out of love for Thee, are directed. Everything in our lives are redeeming the time, the minutes, not the days anymore. Not to lose any opportunity that singularly was given that I'll never have again. That I could do something, say something, impress someone. Oh, we bless Thee. That all is for God. The way we make our beds. That anyone who looks at that will know there's something different about this person. The way we eat at a table. The way we dress. The way we speak. Everything, God. Everything. The places we dare to go. We go only because of God. For His name not to be damaged. For His heart not to be grieved. Come therefore, Lord. Take us in this last moments of this convention. Have Thy way with us. Speak to our hearts, every one of us, as only God can. Wash me, please, in the blood of God the Son. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Anoint me, unctionize me, quicken my mind and heart. Let thy compassion flow through me, thy love be seen through me, for mine is not good enough. Human love is obnoxious. In God's service, it's only God's love through a human that matters. Look through me. Speak through me. Cry out in mercy through the basest of men, but let it be God, for without thee we can do nothing. Make thy word alive, as only the Holy Spirit can, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Give life to this book, for thou dost honor thy word above all things, thou hast said. And we long to also, Lord. Keep us all under the blood of Jesus the Christ. And come, visit this place by thy Spirit. In Jesus Christ's name, we dare to believe that God would hear such a prayer. Only because we all agree and ask, as base and unworthy as we are, in Jesus Christ's name. And for His glory, Amen. In the Old Testament, there was a man called Daniel. A man who, for some reason, stands out in history as one of the most greatly honored, loved, revered, and used men of God to this generation. For some reason, Daniel was so honored and revered by God and man that few in history have ever so affected the entire world and even continue to affect in the millions and millions throughout every generation as young Daniel did from his early life through to his death. He became a household name, revered and feared across the known world. In his lifetime, there were four kings who ruled much, if not most, of the entire known world. They were so great and powerful and feared. But each of these kings was staggered by this one man, staggered at his life, his integrity, his transparency, his honesty, his humility, his trustworthiness, his faithfulness to his God, no matter what it cost him, his faith in his God, and above all, in the way God honored such a life and such faith. Four kings were staggered, never to recover, never to recover through this man's life. God so used him. Firstly, there was Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, the man who built the Babylonian Empire, feared across the world. Conquering nation upon nation, nothing stood in his way. Nebuchadnezzar, whose armies conquered Israel and then Judah, taking young Daniel, a teenage boy, away from his father and mother and land and home,
to Babylon with other of the noble children of the royal homes, the royal family, the noble families, the finer, refined children, to be groomed to serve in the palace, to serve the king and the people of higher rank. And they, with many other children of the best and noblest and most educated and refined of many lands, were taken by Nebuchadnezzar's armies. Then came Belshazzar, Nebuchadnezzar's grandson, king of Babylon and the Babylonian Empire his grandfather had established, which was virtually the known world. Belshazzar, then Darius, the Mede, a man who loved Daniel with his life. A man, I believe, who aged in fear of what was done against Daniel by wicked, and longed with every breath in his body to, as a king, do something to protect him. He so loved him for his life and integrity and friendship. Darius the Mede, Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, Darius the Mede, and then finally Cyrus the Persian, who established the Medo-Persian Empire to its greatest power and became feared as few empires have ever been feared and headed by such a man as Cyrus, who the Bible says served God, the God of Daniel. It is amazing how these men were staggered to acknowledge the God of Daniel as the living, true God through Daniel's life. Oh, we bless God for one man who from a boy till his death staggered the world, who became a household name, revered and feared above most men in history. And to this day, millions are in awe as they read that which God recorded of his life in the Holy Book. But why? What are the reasons that God could so singularly use one man to such a degree as he didn't use through the ages multitudes and multitudes and multitudes who professed to love God and serve God generation after generation? What were the reasons God so took this man? What were the reasons men so revered him and feared him and loved him and hated him if they had no integrity themselves? What were the reasons that God so honored this man that the world was staggered through him the way God used him? I'd like to look at those reasons with you in these last moments of this convention by looking at the heart of this book of Daniel, the central chapter 6. The heart, I would say, of the whole book, where we read, "It pleased Darius." It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes. 120 princes which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first. That the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes. Because an excellent spirit was in him. an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. But what does that mean, beloved? Because an excellent spirit was in him. What does that mean? I believe the same thing was being said of David. In 1 Samuel 18, verse 14, and David behaved himself wisely in all his ways. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways. And the Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. Wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. These men were afraid of Daniel for the same reason. He behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. I believe that is what it means. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit. He behaved himself wisely in all his ways. The Lord was with him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. They sought for something to condemn him, to destroy him, to accuse him, to undermine him. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find none occasion, no fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. That is a wonderful testimony. Hallelujah. They sought to find occasion against him, but they could find none occasion, no fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was any error or fault found in him. They found that he was uncompromisingly faithful in his workplace, in the responsibilities and duties allocated to him at his work. They found he was uncompromisingly faithful at his work. Are you? Can that be said of you by the world, the godless? At your work, sir, lady, your responsibilities? Can it be said of you, uncompromisingly faithful? They could find nothing. No fault. Nothing. They wanted to. And God expects it of us. Paul cries out in Philippians 2 verse 15, that ye may be blameless and faultless, blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke. Without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. In the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. Your life gives you the right to hold this out. To talk of your God to anyone in this world. To even name the name of Jesus, Paul says, your life gives you the right to name the name of Jesus. Oh, he was blameless, harmless, the Son of God without rebuke. They couldn't rebuke him on a thing, and we're called to the same. In the midst of a crooked and perverse nation as Daniel was, among whom we shine as lights in the world as he did, holding forth the word of God, the word of life. 1 Peter 3:16, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you, as of evildoers, they may be ashamed, that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. They may be ashamed, who want to speak evil of you as evildoers, try and find fault of you. They may be ashamed. But only if you have a good conscience in the light of God's light and word. Oh, they found he was uncompromisingly faithful at the workplace. In his responsibilities, allocated his duties. Can that be said of you, child of God? Is that your testimony? Will you answer God? Every single one of you, please, uncompromisingly faithful. What a lovely testimony this man had. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel, but they could find none occasion, no fault, for as much as he was faithful. Neither was there any error nor fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel. We'll not find anything to condemn him, to destroy him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion of this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. What were these evil men thinking of? What were they saying here? Except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Well, they, beloved, remembered what we remember of Daniel, what's recorded in chapter 1 of him. They remembered because they also had come from nations as boys. They also had been groomed, but they found out right from the start there's one boy here that would not compromise on the commandments of his God. He purposed in his heart right then from the start he would not defile himself with the king's meat. He would not go against the commandments of God concerning defiling food that God commanded the people of God not to touch, as the heathen do. But that was just one commandment. Obviously all commandments, no matter what the cost, no matter what it cost him, he would not compromise. He was uncompromisingly faithful to the commandments of his God. They found, firstly, he was uncompromisingly faithful in the workplace, in his duties and responsibilities allocated to him. They found of his life that he was uncompromisingly faithful in the keeping of the commandments of his God. Can that be said of you? Please answer God. By the unsaved, is that your testimony? You will not compromise no matter what it costs, no matter what happens, the consequences. The Word of God, the standard of this book. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. What were they thinking of, these evil, evil men? Then the presidents, these presidents and princes, assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. Live forever. All the presidents, All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree. Sign the writing. Let it be not changed, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open, in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees. Three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. This is staggering. Beloved, he knew what they were doing. Don't doubt that. He knew what was going on. But nothing would make him divert from God. They found now that he was uncompromisingly faithful. No matter what the cost, no matter what the consequences, he would not divert from his times with God, no matter what it cost him. He was uncompromisingly faithful. In his workplace, he was uncompromisingly faithful, no matter what the cost, in the keeping of the commandments of God. He was uncompromisingly faithful. Uncompromisingly faithful in his devotions, in his times of intercession set aside for him to commune with his God, no matter what it cost him in life, he would not be diverted. No matter what the cost, they found him uncompromisingly faithful in his times of devotion, communing and intercession with his God. Can that be said of you? Will you please answer God? If you're not here for God, what on earth are you doing here? Will you please answer God, every single one of you, even preachers? Is that your testimony, beloved?
There's something here about this man that is so faithful. It's staggering. It is staggering to this generation, all these hundreds and hundreds of years later. Staggering to the people of God. Staggering to my heart. This man prayed 3 times a day. Now, this is greatly significant because David, who the same thing was said about his life, and men feared him for the excellent spirit that he behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him, and men feared him. Wicked men always fear such men. But godly and men of integrity always love such men. David, the same thing that was said of David was said of Daniel. An excellent spirit was in him. He was preferred above all the presidents because he behaved himself wisely also. But this is so significant. David also cried out that he prayed 3 times a day. 3 times a day he set aside for God that he would not divert from. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud and he shall hear my voice. Psalm 55 verse 17, David cries, evening, do you? Morning, do you? And at noon, I make time. Where others sneak for other things that they think is essential to stay alive. And I make time for God. Oh, evening and morning. And at noon will I pray and cry aloud. And he shall hear my voice, David says. For here these two men have something else in common. And beloved, I believe as a result of this discipline, guarded, set times alone with God, that nothing would divert them, no matter what it cost them. Nothing. As a result of this, there emerged 2 men who behaved themselves wisely in all their ways, and the Lord was with them. Men in whom there was an excellent spirit. That they were preferred above all others. An excellent spirit. I believe for you and I to have such a testimony, we need, no matter what it costs us in life, never to be diverted, no matter what the devil does to try and put fear in our hearts if we fail other things or do things. Oh, beloved, I believe as a result of these times with God that these 2 men emerged from, they emerged men who behaved themselves wisely in all their ways. Will that ever be said of you? Answer God. It will never be said of you. I guarantee you, until you emerge from such times that nothing will divert you from every day. Times when you commune with God, when you intercede with God, when you're alone with God, and nothing will keep you from it. No one, nothing, nothing the devil does will keep you from it. There's something precious about what Daniel did, though. We don't know what he prayed. I have imagined what he prayed. I mean, he did speak to God about these men. Don't doubt that. He must have brought it all before God. But we don't know what he said to God. But one thing we do know, that God makes all we know about what he did. He gave thanks. When everything came against him, when everyone was now wanting to destroy him and they could, when his life was at stake, when he was about to be wiped out, in spite of all this throng of evil rising against him to destroy him, he didn't come before God grieving and crying out at the unfaithfulness of God now and deserting him and leaving him in the hands of such wicked, though he's been faithful. He gave thanks. Whatever he cried out to God, he still did the one thing he always had done. When things turned against him, he didn't cease to offer the sacrifice of praise. Can that be said of you? Is that your testimony? Or are you just a murmuring, angry, bitter against God and men if things go wrong when you get on your knees? Can you answer God, please? Will you please answer God right now, every single one? He lived the New Testament standard as few have. Without all we have, even his record of his life, he lived it. There's a verse here. Oh, Philippians 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing. That's staggering. Be anxious, be fearful of nothing. Fretful, anxiety, fear, flooding your hearts about circumstances. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, in every circumstance, let your requests be made known unto God with prayer and thanksgiving. I love that. No matter what comes in life, no matter what you face in life, no matter what difficulties you're going to have with the onslaughts of the devil or any circumstance that you feel you're now going to be destroyed, be fearful nothing, for nothing. But let your requests be made known unto God. Let your requests be made known unto God. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God with thanksgiving. And the peace of God, it passes all understanding, so flood your minds and hearts through Christ Jesus. You want peace that passes all understanding. It isn't just given. It isn't just given when you pray to God with all your needs now that you're facing, oh God, oh pray. But with thanksgiving, child, there's something about the power of praise. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me a billion times more when all goes against you than when everything's going right. Glorifieth God. Do you glorify God in praising? But you give up the moment things aren't perfect. Then he's not worthy of praising. When things are going against you, people come against you. Are you a perfect murmurer? Or a perfect worshipper of God? One of the two. I don't think there's an in-between. I can't imagine how that's possible. You're one of the two. What are you in reality? You're as real, I believe, as you are when everything comes against you, not when everything's going right. What test is there when things are going right, brother? And how do we pass an exam more, a New Testament standard, that not only to come to God for peace, that passes on understanding by committing it to God, but offering the sacrifice of praise in spite of all these things. Not for these things. You never praise God for what evil men do against you, but in spite of them, you never cease to be a perfect worshipper of God, even though you might be apprehensive, but you come before God and you find God's peace flooding you if you do these things. Somehow, you discipline yourself not just to come to God with all the problems, but you commit them to God, and then you praise, and God's peace comes, and never before. Peace that passes all understanding. Do you think he just had that? No, he had it as a result of doing New Testament commandments to find peace that passes all understanding and keeps your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Do you? Is that your testimony? Will you please answer God and speak to God about it right now? Will you please do that, sir? Acknowledge it. Talk to God about this. If he's talking to you about it through the basest of men, but you know he's reaching you where no human voice can reach. His voice is reaching. You know you have to do with God. Please speak to him about it. Don't be silent.
When Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day, and prayed, and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree, if the king establishes, may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. He will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose early in the morning. The king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel, and hath shut the lions' mouth, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him. No manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had the mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages which dwell in all the earth,
Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God. He is the living God and steadfast forever. And his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius, and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. These men found other things about Daniel that we looked at that they found of his life. They found staggering things that stagger me. They found that he would not defend himself. He did nothing. Does God expect that of you and me? But let's look at the light of the New Testament at what God says. He didn't go to the king and complain and explain. He didn't go to them and plead. He didn't argue. He didn't try and stop them from what was being planned. He did nothing against them. He said nothing to man about them. He didn't fight them. And he was the top authority under the king already in the whole land. He could have. He didn't react to men's evils. And they were about to destroy him, but he did nothing to protect himself. Nothing to rebuke them. Nothing to challenge them. Nothing. He did nothing to man who wanted him dead. Beloved, 1 Peter 2 verse 19. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it when we be buffeted for our faults, we take it patiently. But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Daniel did that. All he did was he committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. And you see, Daniel's name is God is my judge. That's all that matters, you know. God, be still, child. Know that I am God. Don't you do the fighting, or things will go worse. Be still, child. He committed himself to him that judges righteously. He committed this whole situation. He committed these men. He committed his life, no matter what, to God who judges righteously. Do you? Or did you fight? Did you fight? And it just went worse. Will you answer God, please? Is that your testimony? They found that because of his faithfulness to God, his uncompromising faithfulness to God in all the ways they could look at, his uncompromising faithfulness to God and his faith in God, that God was faithful in protecting him,
in delivering him and in dealing with those who the devil was using. They found to their dismay that because he was uncompromisingly faithful. Listen carefully. My son Samuel stood here last night at 15 years of age and quoted a verse that I've always loved. It spoke to my heart again. 1 John 3 verse 20. If our hearts condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments. Whatever God heard Daniel crying out as he committed it all to God, because Daniel was uncompromisingly faithful, he kept the condition of the promise. There's no such a thing as a promise without a condition in the entire Bible. You keep the condition, you fulfill the condition, God is faithful on his side. They found that because of his uncompromising faithfulness to God and his faith in God, that God was faithful to him, to protect him, to deliver him, to honor him, to stagger the world by way he honored him. Can that be said of you? Is that your testimony? Because of your uncompromising faithfulness, when you come to God in circumstances and prayer, God is faithful to you. Because the conditions right through this book you fulfill. Otherwise, God cannot fulfill them. So don't blame God for what does go wrong. If you're not faithful, then they didn't find something else out that we find out, because they, tragically, were dead. But we find out that God and man honored him in a way that the whole world, the known world, the great empire, Medo-Persian, the whole world, the known conquered world of this great man, acknowledged by the king's decree to fear and tremble before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God. What a testimony for a king to give, let alone your president. What a testimony for a king to give the world, that he knows, he's convinced, he's proved, he's seen this God of Daniel. All of you under me, you tremble and you fear because of this God, for the world suddenly acknowledged God. I don't know to what degree you and I could say they were saved, like in Nineveh, as they turned in their wickedness, crying out to the God of Jonah for forgiveness. But they knew he was God, the God they knew. I don't know, but there will be a staggering amount of people we will see as a result of Daniel's life, including kings, who acknowledged and bowed down before this God because of Daniel's life and witness and testimony. In chapter 12 of Daniel, there's a precious verse. Verse 3, listen carefully. They that be wise... Oh, he behaved himself very wisely as a result of God with him. They shall shine as the firmament forever. They that turn many to righteousness. Tell me, is that your life? Is that your testimony? They shall shine as the firmament forever and ever for the star. They that be wise, they that turn many to righteousness. Well, he did. He shook the world. He shook kings to acknowledge that this God is the living God. Has anyone in your life been shaken through your life? In God honoring your faith and your faithfulness? Through your uncompromising faithfulness, have you turned many to righteousness? Has God honored you? Well, he never will
He never will. Not one of you. Unless these things are written across your life and read loud and clear, not with ink, but by the Spirit of God, loud and clear, by the godless and the godly. Can we stand, please? Can we bow before God, please? Father, someone wrote that hymn, Lord, dare to be a Daniel. Help us to, in Jesus Christ's name, Amen.